with a spreading black beard, was stooping over me with a roar of greeting, and my hand was being gripped in an enormous paw.
"Good God!" cries Speedy. "Sir Harry!"
"Right enough you are, Your Honour," agrees the departing Shaughnessy. "'Tis himself, so it is, and none other."
"You're wounded," cries Speedy. "But you're well, what? Oh, this is famous. It will crown Sir Robert's day. We'd almost given you up after Prideaux said Theodore wouldn't release you."
He pumped my hand, beaming.
"And here you are! And what a splendid job you did with the gallows. Sealed this amber tight as a drum. Oh, aye, we know how he tried to run for it. But who'd have thought Magdala would fall so fast and easy? Thanks to you, sir. Thanks to you."
Which was music to the ears, of course. And then he glanced round at a cry of, "To Wootros! To Wootros!" And there was an ab eagerly identifying Theodore's body for a couple of officers who'd just come up. Now, what followed meant nothing to me at first, but it did an hour later, after, well, the events I'm about to relate. They're no great matter, but they provide an interesting glimpse of human nature, I think, and demonstrate how people will believe what they want to believe, and honourable men will swear to what they think is a damn lie, never realising that it happens to be true. Thus, Speedy heard the ab and stared, shot me a brief wandering glance, and strode across to the corpse. He bent over it and came back, exclaiming, "Phew!" in astonishment. Then he checked, and I saw he was looking at my left hand, which, to my surprise, was resting on Theodore's revolver. Speedy glanced back at the body, then at me, with just a hint of knowing in his eyes, and stooped quickly to snatch up the gun and thrust it under his tunic.
"We'll have you under cover in a jiff, out of the rain," cries he.
And Shaughnessy, arriving with the stretcher, he and the orderly bore me into one of the thatched houses nearby. Speedy chivvied them away, Shaughnessy adjuring me to
"have a care, Sir Harry, man dear."
And outside the bands were striking up, "Hail the Conquering Hero Comes," almost drowned out by another great roar of cheering. It was Napier, never far behind the infantry as usual, come to take possession of his conquest. Speedy stood chafing in the doorway, and I heard him summon a soldier and order him to stand guard and let no one in or out. There were a couple of scared-looking ab women in the house, and Speedy dashed them some dollars, telling them to give me a flask of Tej and whatever else I might need. Then he was off, promising to be back presently, and I guess about an hour passed, in which I discovered I could walk with only a little discomfort, and the women brought me some humbasha, and I sat listening to the bands playing and the bustle and shouted orders, until I heard Speedy returning, and Napier with him. His voice raised in anger, which wasn't his style at all.
"Have him covered up at once," he was barking. "Good God! Was there ever anything more disgraceful? Have him taken into a house directly and made decent. Has the Queen been informed? Ah, Rassam is seeing to her. Very good."
I was to learn that his great bait was about Theodore's body lying in the rain, stripped almost naked by chaps seeking souvenirs. Speedy said something I didn't catch, and Napier said,
"To be sure, the doctors must examine the body tomorrow and report to a board of inquiry. Now, where is our ambassador extraordinary?"
This, as he appeared in the doorway, helmet in hand, with Speedy at his elbow, muttering that the less said the better, at all costs the press mustn't get wind.
"Sir Harry."
Napier was gripping my hand, eyes alight in the tired old face.
"No, no, no. Sit still, my dear fellow. Not too painful a hurt, I trust? Oh, that's good news."
Then he was echoing Speedy's earlier congratulations, thanking me for
"a task well done, as only you could have done it,"
without which the campaign might have come adrift, and so forth, etc.
"It was a body blow when we learned you'd been taken, I can tell you. But we'll hear all about that presently, and your other adventures. For the moment, it's enough that you're here."
He beamed, paused a moment, and sat down, fingering his dreary moustache.
"So, the work's done, by the mercy of Providence," says he. "And the King is dead. A sad end, but not untimely. How did it happen?"
I told him straight. Suicide. He glanced at Speedy and nodded.
"Suicide," says he. "I see."
Something in his tone made me repeat it, That's right, sir. He put the piece in his mouth and let fly. Another thoughtful nod.
Apart from yourself,